So we ended the last year, and I blew the trumpet. So my trumpet blowing is finished for 7 weeks, and so this I am continuing on the image that exposes Satan's kingdom. And last meeting, I spoke about the feet, the legs of iron, the feet of iron, partly of iron and partly of clay. And we explored the loophole in Satan's kingdom. Okay, I have already explained those things. We are looking at Daniel chapter number 2. We are looking at the idol or the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the dream, and the interpretation of that came to Daniel about that image. Actually, the Lord gave him that interpretation to expose Satan's kingdom and to expose the loopholes in Satan's kingdom. All right, so we saw that the legs of iron and the feet that were partly of iron and partly of clay signifies the beast system. We saw from the scriptures it refers to Daniel 7 about the beast that was weird, which had iron teeth, and it was crushing in pieces all other kingdoms and all those things. Then we compared it to the Revelation beast. So this end time kingdom, we are living in the iron and clay kingdom. That is the beast kingdom. That is the Antichrist kingdom. Okay, we are living in that kingdom. So that kingdom will like with the teeth of iron, Daniel chapter number 7, it will crush all other kingdoms. That means everything will be crushed, and it will bring the one world government. It will bring the one world religion. There are two beasts in Revelation chapter number 13. One beast that looks like the leopard has the features of the bear, of the lion, and I think of the eagle or the ox. So that beast will be the one world government. And there is a second beast who looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. That beast will be the one world religion. So there are two things that will come into place in the end times. That is the iron and the clay kingdom. But we saw what is the meaning of iron. If you remember, we saw what is the meaning of clay, and especially the idol's feet was of clay and iron. And feet signifies territorial authority, priesthood authority over territories. So that signifies when the Antichrist kingdom comes, when the beast system comes, not all territories will be under his authorities, because there will be a mixture of clay in the feet. It will not be complete iron. Iron signifies what? Absolute authority. So it will not be complete iron. The one who will have the real iron is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come with a rod of iron. His rod of iron will bring absolute authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. So
Hallelujah.
even if some wicked, demonic, satanic people, oh, we don't want to submit to Jesus, the way they mock Jesus, the way they hate Jesus, when Jesus comes with the rod of iron and then they become rebellious, that rod of iron will spank them and make them submit. That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow for those on the earth, for those in heaven, and those under the earth. How they will bow? Not willingly, forcefully they will bow. Hallelujah. They will bow,
Hallelujah.
but we bow willingly because we are his children. Hallelujah. He does not use has to use the rod of iron. So the rod of iron is for the wickedness to bow down before the feet of Jesus. The rod of iron signifies absolute authority. All right. So that is where we ended, the feet of iron and clay. I have already covered that, so that was a quick recap. Let's go to the next. Let's go to the next chapter, or the next part of this sermon after the feet of iron and clay. Let's turn to Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. And we were on the feet of iron and clay, so we were on 43, and now we will come on 44. Very important, 44. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 44. As in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Underline the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Underline that, very important. Let me read again. And in the days of these kings, which kings? The kings that are in the iron and clay kingdom. Who are those kings? Those kings are the seven heads and the ten horns of the beast. They are the kings. So during the time of these kings, we are living in the time of these kings. So what will happen in the time of these kings? The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. What I am doing, I am a representative of God. I am setting up a kingdom. It will take time. The setting up of kingdom does not happen in few years. It takes years. And we have to patiently build it. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Kingdoms that are like the any type of kingdom. You know, one of the qualities of Satan is, Satan is a person who is very patient, a personality who is very patient. And secondly, he is a personality who never gives up. Who never gives up. That's why he is able to, even when his kingdom is destroyed, he labors. Even if he has to labor for a whole century, he will labor and build up another kingdom. So that is the capacity of Satan. That's why Satan overpowers almost 95% of Christians. Because Christians don't have the patience to stay. We will come to that. The Bible is saying now, in those days, which days? In the days of the kingdom. We are right now in those days. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. So, believers, I am showing you the loophole. Some believers read Revelation and they are afraid, oh, the system of beast will come. They will force us, they will persecute us, maybe kill us to take the mark. But believers, you have to understand that in these days, God is setting up another kingdom. God will not leave his remnant to die and to be killed and to be vanished away. There will be a remnant. There will be the kingdom builders. They are building a new kingdom. We are at the start of building a new kingdom that God is leading us to build, that God is empowering us to build. He shall set up a new kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Underline that. Let's see the meaning of it. And the kingdom, the Bible says, shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay, before I go ahead, let me interpret this verse. So the first thing, as I said, God will set up a kingdom during the days of the beast kingdom. And the horns and the heads are the kings which are in power. The kings, during the time of the king, these kings, the verse mentions, these are the kings of the beast system. During that time, God is setting up a new kingdom. The second thing in this verse is, the Bible says, this kingdom will not be left to other people. What does that mean? This kingdom will not be left to other people. What does that mean? Okay, listen to me carefully. This kingdom will be different from worldly kingdoms, political kingdoms, in which they are created for people to enroll into or to look up to them for solution. This kingdom will not be for people, but will destroy everything and even the people that are under the beast kingdom. And the people under the kingdom will be the people who are already a part of it. Okay, listen to me. If we come together and we say, let's make a political party. Why we are making a political party? So that we can get people under us to vote for us, to believe in us. So we are setting up a political kingdom for who? For the people. So that people can enroll into us, people can come and believe our words, and they can vote us and bring us into power. But this kingdom that God is setting up, it's not for people to get enrolled in. This is already an established kingdom, and there are already people who are working for that kingdom. So this kingdom is not getting set up for people to vote this kingdom into power. It's already into power because it's the kingdom of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We will come to Revelation, then we will understand. Are you understanding? So that is the meaning, that this kingdom shall not be left for people. The people who are outside the kingdom are not the part of the kingdom. The people who are already in the kingdom are the part of the kingdom. And the kingdom is established not for people to come and vote for us and that we may come into power. Jesus may come into power. No one has to vote for Jesus to come into power. Jesus is by himself the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? Okay, he is the creator of heaven and earth. So that is how this kingdom will be different. And whoever is not under this kingdom will be destroyed with the other kingdom. God of heaven is setting up a new kingdom first. And second, this kingdom will not be left for other people. Do we understand that now? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. 45. Daniel. Chapter number 2, verse number 45. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Underline that, very important. The stone was cut out of the mountain, and that too without hands. We will see the meaning of it. And that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Okay, so let's see that verse. Let's see what is the stone that will destroy all the kingdoms. We know that the stone is Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ in this revelation of Daniel is been explained from the perspective that he is the stone. So we have to understand Jesus Christ the stone. His attributes, his characteristics, his power as a stone in God's kingdom. And then we will understand what kind of kingdom that God is setting up in the end times. Hallelujah. Okay, let me go to another verse before we go into the stone. Daniel chapter number 2, Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 34 and 35. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. So where the stone will strike, it will strike on the iron and clay kingdom, it will strike the beast. We will see how it will do it in the book of Revelation. Okay, it will strike the beast kingdom. And when the beast kingdom is destroyed, the gold, the bronze, the silver that I explained in the previous sermons, all the kingdom will fall down, because the foundation or the kingdom on which all the other kingdoms are standing is the beast kingdom, rooted in the Babylonian kingdom, the brain, the gold kingdom. Okay, any which ways. So the stone will strike who? The beast kingdom, the iron and clay kingdom. So we are in the time where the stone is ready to be cut off and hit the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world will be destroyed. But those who do the will of God shall abide forever. Everything in the world is passing away, the Bible says. This kingdom shall be destroyed. Yesterday, while I was preparing the sermon, I was just thinking what it means to... Now, we are living in this world. I have been here in this world for 31 years. I am 31 years in this world. But what it means to live with Jesus eternally forever. What we will do there. What a marvelous eternal kingdom he will have. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I was thinking, you know, I heard a senior pastor saying, he is around 75, 80 years old. He was telling that number your days and be productive for God, because now I feel that yesterday I was just 10 years old, because time passed by so fast. You don't know. So time will pass by very fast here in this kingdom. We have nothing to do with this world. We have to look for that. I was just pondering, what job, what work will we get? What positions will we get in the eternal kingdom? And there we will live with Jesus eternally, eternally, eternally. I mean, we don't know how we will feel there, because these are different kingdoms. Here we are under the authority of time, of space, and all those things. So we think in that perspective. But when we will be transformed, when we will go there in heaven, our perspective will change. We will not feel like what you are feeling now in this earth, sitting on your chair. You will not feel like that. The feeling will be different. The feeling will be from eternity perspective. That we will only discover when we go there. That's why Apostle Paul says, now we know in part, but then we will know fully. Now I prophesy in part, but then I will know completely. You understand that? So it is completely different. And this is talking about the bringing of that eternal kingdom. Okay? Hallelujah. Verse number 35. Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 35. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. The kingdoms that we see ruling the earth will be completely vanished away, and there will be no trace of it that will be found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is the kingdom of the stone, the kingdom of Jesus Christ that will take over all the kingdoms. Okay, so the perspective of the revelation that Daniel received is Jesus Christ being the stone will bring about the destruction of all the kingdoms and set up his kingdom, which would be the everlasting kingdom. Okay, now let's look at Jesus being the stone. What kind of stone is he? What kind of stone is he? Luke chapter number 20, verse number 17 and 18. Luke chapter number 20, verse number 17 and 18. Then he looked at them and said, what then is that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. This is a powerful stone. You better don't play with that stone. The Bible says, Jesus himself is saying, the stone which the builders rejected. What? Which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We will come to that. But he says what it was said in Daniel. He says that whoever falls on this stone, he will be destroyed. And whomever the stone falls, the stone will grind that to pieces. Hallelujah. So, let me tell you, the world hasn't seen the destructive power of Jesus. Don't look at Jesus as a dictator. No. He's loving and he's patient enough to, for so many years, to be merciful to the wicked. The Bible says the rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. This world is, the owner of this world is my Lord Jesus Christ. And he's merciful enough to let even his enemies stay in this world. Okay? But when he comes back, he will not come back on a donkey. He will come back on a white horse with a rod of iron and with many crowns on his head. That is the stone that will come from the mountain. We will come to that in Revelation. And what he is coming for and what he is coming with is his destructive power, because even though he could destroy the Pharisee, but he did not. Because he was the stone that can grind everything to pieces. The Bible says, whoever falls on the stone will be destroyed. Even though he could use that power, he did not use that power because he is merciful. and he wants to wait for people to repent. He does not want a soul to perish. But that does not mean he does not have that power. His power, the power that Jesus carries is immense. I'm telling you. The power that Jesus, some people doubt Jesus, the power of Jesus. But what the power that our Lord Jesus carries, that in a twinkling of an eye, he can destroy everything. That is the power he carries. And that is the stone perspective. He is the chief cornerstone. And powerful enough. Okay. He says the stone which the builders rejected. First of all, he was rejected. We'll come to that meaning, but he became the chief cornerstone. So Daniel does not know Jesus. Daniel does not know anything about what is how salvation will come. But God is revealing to him about a stone. And he's interpreting the dream and prophesying about a stone. That stone is Jesus Christ. That stone is the chief cornerstone. All right? Luke chapter number 21, verse number 5 and 6. Luke chapter number 21, verse number 5 and 6. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, that means Jesus said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left up upon another that shall not be thrown down. So when people were talking about the temple and they were praising the temple because it was made with what? Beautiful stones, expensive stones, and the donations that the temple get for the building and whatever, renovation of the temples. They were praising, oh, what beautiful temple, what stones and how much donations they get, and they are making it more good. What did Jesus answer to those reactions of people? He said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So there are two stones. One stone that is built by man and that is cut by man. That is, I am explaining you the paraphrase which says the stone which was cut, what? Without hands. Okay, everyone say the stone which was cut without hands. The stone which was
cut without hands.
Stone which was cut without hands.
Okay, hallelujah. So listen to me.
Hallelujah.
There are two stones. The scripture that I said is the stone that is made by man and that is cut by man's hand. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Not one stone will be left upon another. Everything will fall down. That is the stone which is done by a hand and which is cut by a hand, which is handicraft and made by a man. But Jesus Christ and his building is the stone building, is the stone altar that is not made by hand and that is not cut by hand. There is no human intervention whatsoever. Do you know? The kingdom of Jesus Christ is not built on the strength of man or of mammon or of infrastructure. The chief cornerstone is not making a human infrastructure or a physical building. We will come to that when we understand the revelation of chief cornerstone. All right. So believers, it's high time. I had been preaching this, but it's high time for us to realize that wherever we see infrastructure and we see a building and we call it a church, but actually we are wrong about it. The body of Christ, the church, is a spiritual building. I am not saying it, the scripture says it. With Jesus being its chief cornerstone. Okay, we will come to that. We'll come to that. Okay, so the kingdom that the Lord is building is not with the stones that are carved, that are cut, and that are put and planted by human beings. It's not a building that is put together by human hands. The kingdom that God is building is without the power and the might of human beings. It's by the wisdom of the Ancient of Days, which he ordained before even the world was created. He ordained this plan. He ordained this layout of this building. Are we understand? So are we understanding that? So,
yes.
So the beast kingdom is a kingdom that is put together by human beings. Remember how it started? Gold head. Who was the gold head? The Bible says in the days of Nimrod, the people of the earth came together and said, let us build a building that will reach its top to the throne of heaven. So they started to build a building that is the beast kingdom, a building that was built by human efforts and human hands. Okay, listen to me carefully. But the kingdom that Jesus Christ is building is not a physical building, is not a human infrastructure built with human efforts. The kingdom that Jesus Christ is building is by his word and by his spirit. That is how Jesus is building this spiritual kingdom. We will come into the details of the scripture. And let me tell you and let me prophesy that everything in this world which is built and put together by human hands, all of those things will fall down and will be destroyed. But what is built by God, by his spirit and by his word, that is the kingdom that will last forever. The Bible is talking about two stones. First, Jesus is talking about himself being the chief cornerstone. And then when the people of Israel, people around him are praising the temple, he said, the temple which you are praising for the stones, not one stone will be left above another, everything will fall down. So there are two stones, and the stone that will be cut without human hands is the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ. Okay, it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. Let me show you that. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 19 to 22. I want you to open that scripture. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together. Now it's talking about the building of the building. The whole building being fitted together, listen to this, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Listen to me. You know, this is the spiritual building, this Zoom meeting. How much ever people are here, this is a spiritual building God has fit together, that when we come together, we host the presence of God here. Hallelujah. It's like an altar. What does the altar do? When we make an altar, and we will come to that, the altar is made with stones. The original altar, the way to make an altar is with putting together the stones. And when the stones are put together, why it is put together? To make a place to host the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? When you read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, there were no buildings. There were houses in which people met together. There were places. Yeah, you go and read the book of Acts of the Apostles. Listen to me. The church did not focus on infrastructure to build the highest building and to build the biggest church. But we are living in the 21st century, and the 21st century Christianity glories in the person who has built the biggest church. Hallelujah. Yes, it comes on CNN. It comes on even secular news channel. The pastor from India who has the biggest church in India. The pastor from South Korea who has the biggest church. In South Korea, the pastor from America who has the biggest church, but that is not even biblical. The body of Christ is stones coming together. It says fitted together, you and me, laid the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and then the building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. That means when we come together, the primary purpose for us is to host the presence of God. Okay? In whom, verse number 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's a spirit building. It's a spirit building. It does not say in the physical. It says for in whom you also are being built together, fitted together for a dwelling place for God in the spirit realm. It's a spiritual building that God is setting up. It's a spiritual, are we understanding? It's a spiritual altar that God is setting up. We are the spiritual temple of the Lord that hosts the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are a spiritual temple that our gathering will host the presence of the Lord. Let us understand that in more detail from Psalm 133, verse number 1 to 3. Psalm 133, verse number 1 to 3. We are understanding the system that God will set up. Yes? And I am telling you, there will be a lot of shiftings. And I heard the news, UK news, foreign news channel. And as per the statistics, many in 2024, many church buildings shut down. You might go and see it. Many church buildings shut it down, and the church turned those buildings into bars and pubs and clubs. Yes, that happened. You can go and search it out in England. Many church buildings shut down and they turned it into bars and pubs and clubs. Then I know about many pastors who have church buildings. Now, when they come to church only on a Sunday, okay? Only on a Sunday they come to church. Rest of the time we don't know what they are doing, but only on a Sunday. And yes, on Christmas Eve, on Easter, they come in the church. On the festivals, they come in the church. But rest of the time, the community of the church, the elders decided to give the church to marriage ceremonies, to parties, so that the church is getting, the buildings are getting commercialized. That is what I want to say. So Monday, we are not in the church. Let's give the church to other unbelievers who can come and have their marriage ceremony there, who can come and have their birthday parties there, who can come and have whatever program they want to have there. Because we have to understand God is shifting us into some season. God is shifting. It says, wherever two or three gather in my name, I will be there. I will be there. Listen to me. Let me tell you one thing as a prophet of God. God is unhappy when pastors are using the funds that is coming in the kingdom of God to put into buildings that God did not even command them to build. And I know people who have sold their houses, who have taken from their bank their life savings, just because they were intrigued by a pastor that if you give, you will get double. So, and they took everything and they gave all their money into that building fund. And now they are in debts. Now they are living in poverty. And they say, oh, I gave to God. Did you hear the Holy Spirit? Did you hear the Holy Spirit? Where to give?
Yeah.
Are you listening to that? You are not discerning the time and season. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? God is unhappy. God is not commanding. You know, come and say, I want to build a church of the size of a stadium and I want these kinds of funds. I want this and this, this, this. No, God is not into that business. That is not the season now. I'm telling you, that is not the season now. Wherever two or three will gather in my name, I will be there in their midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Stop being amazed like the people around Jesus were amazed. Whoa, what a big church. Oh my God. Woo, I'm feeling cold. The AC is nice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't be amazed because most of the things that are praised, because I will come to that. Because the stone is the stone which the builders rejected. Okay? The world expected Jesus to do something, but Jesus did not came for that. Jesus came for something else, to perform the Father's will. So the stone was rejected by the world. Hallelujah. Those, listen to me. You be careful before you take a decision that I want to build this kingdom that the God of heaven is telling me to build, because you will be rejected by men. What are you doing? Look at us. We have big buildings. Look at us. We have a lot of money. Look at us. We have air conditioning. Look at us. We have built an overflow and all those stuff. They will reject you. You will be despised. You will be cornered because you are building a building whose results will not be seen today. It will be seen when Jesus comes and your works will manifest at that time. So you have to decide. You know, the Jesus said, doesn't a person before he builds a building counts the cost, how much money he has, and then he decides to start the work? Doesn't a king who goes for war first sees how much army he has, how much resources he has, and then decides to go for a war? So before even we build and put our hand into the building of God, the spiritual building, we have to first sit back and think about whether we can complete it or not. Because Jesus said, once you put your hand on the plow, you cannot take it back. Hallelujah. Okay. Are we together, people of God? Hallelujah. Years back, I loved a pastor. He passed away in his young age. I'm very sad for him, but he passed away in his young age. But that pastor, years back, he wanted to build a business because I loved him. He wanted to build a building for his church. And I said, praise God. And he said to all the people, you know, his congregation, he had an international ministry, told everyone he is building a building, send funds. I also helped him with some funds, but he never was able to build a building. Some things we have to sit in the presence of God and understanding what God wants us to do. Maybe we are building the building because we think the other pastors are building buildings, and that's how success in ministry is defined. Success in ministry is not defined like that in the days we are living in. I'm telling you, we are building a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. We are building a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. The things I am doing,
Hallelujah,
was told to me, was prophesied on me. This thing that I am doing, sometimes I get discouraged because I am a human being, but I know God is using me to set up something which will last for eternity. This is the kingdom we are building, and it will take time. We are building a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. A building
Hallelujah.
Whose foundation is the chief cornerstone. And when the chief cornerstone, which will come in its power, it will destroy everything that is not in its own building, that is not fitted up in its old building. So while time is there, like Noah was building the ark, whoever was not inside the ark was destroyed outside. This is the kind of ark building. Are we understanding that? That's why it says this kingdom will not be left to other people. It will not be a kingdom for which people can vote and get into it. No. Once the ark door is closed, no one can get inside of it. Hallelujah. But we are the builders of this ark. You have to become a builder of this ark. You have to change your perspective about Christianity and about what is happening in Christianity. Okay? Hallelujah. So this verse is saying that Jesus is the chief cornerstone laid, the building foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. That is the apostolic and prophetic ministry. I don't have time to go into that. And you and me, we all the members being fitted together to become a place for the dwelling of God in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Remember, when you are coming in this meeting, you are not coming for me. Remember that, yeah, God will give you breakthrough. Miracles will happen in your life. I'm telling you. But why you are coming here? You are coming here to host the presence of God. When we come together, we should host the presence of God should be here. The word of God should be here. When people hear me, I always pray. I don't want to preach something hearing from here and there. I want to preach your word. When people hear it, they should say that God is here in this place. He is speaking to us. That is hosting the presence of God when we come together. Okay, where we were going? We were going to Psalm 133, verse number 1 to 3. I already preached about it. This is the kingdom that God is building. A layout of this kingdom. Psalm 133, verse number 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That is the building. For brethren to dwell together in unity, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. Now, it does not specify it is the head of Aaron. It says, like the precious oil upon the head. That is the head, Jesus Christ. Then it specifies that when it is poured down, it comes from the beard of Aaron and running down on the edge of his garments. Hallelujah. I always tell people, I can personally pray for you and help you. I don't mind helping you. But there are anointings that are released when brethren get together. Anointings, oils that are released, prophecies that are released when brethren get together. I can, and those utterances I will not get when I am praying with you individually. I will get that utterance when I am in the gathering of God's brethren, because the anointing, the oil is released. Do we understand that? And if you want anointing, if you've got to have oil, because you don't want to be like the foolish virgins who had oil and they could not pass through the door of eternity. You need to have oil. And for that, you need to understand that you are embedded into a system. You are embedded into a building. One of the ladies, always, you know, up and down, up. At last she left. And her thing was, why I have to come in this meeting? I can pray at home and do seek God by myself. That is from the devil, I am telling you. That is from the devil. You have to be a part of God's spiritual building. And because that is how God created that system. God created that system that when brethren come together in unity, the Bible says the oil flows. And it is not only the oil flowing, but it's the overflow of oil, because it flows down from the beard of Aaron and running down to the edge of his garments. Now that's that first part of the building is the priesthood system. Is the priesthood system where believers pray and get the oil and they are equipped. The second part of the building is what? Verse number 3. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. The second part, the first part is the body of priesthood. The second part is the mountain of administration. I already preached about it, I think 2 years or a year back. The second part is the mountain of administration. The first part is the body of priesthood. Hallelujah. Do you know all kingdoms function like that? They have an administrative system where they will have the king, or in today's time, they have the president or prime minister. They have the other ministers. But behind that government, that they have their priesthood system, an altar unto a foreign deity, which controls the government. There are always two systems that are placed in the spiritual realm. And these are the two systems. The first is the priesthood body, that we come together for a prayer where there is a release of oil, anointing, equipping of believers. And second is the administrative system. What happens? The dew of Hermon descends on mountain of Zion. When does that happen? When you are sitting inside alone and saying, I don't want to go to the meeting. No, when you come in the mountain, in the gathering of God's people, the fresh dew is released in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are things God will tell you in the secret place, but there are things God can only tell you. The dew of Hermon is released for the administrative system of God of Zion to rule over the nations when the brethren get together, when the stones get together, and Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? And the dew of Hermon signifies the word of the Lord, the fresh word of the Lord, the manna, the dew of Hermon, which is released every morning. every morning. So believers got to practice that. Do you understand that believers during the time of the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter was doing ministry, Paul was doing ministry, many of them were attacked, arrested, and killed. But do you know, in spite of that, they met together. They did not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Why? Because they knew the revelation. And today believers, oh, today there are two drops of rain that fell. I will not go to the church. There is no persecution. There is no one coming and killing you. No one coming and doing anything to you. But yet, even this ministry, I mean, we are on Zoom. It's so easy to just join in from wherever you are. But people, I will not come. I will skip. I will that. I'm telling you, don't be left outside the building. Otherwise, the stone will crush you. Don't be left outside the building. I'm serious about it. Don't be left outside the building. Be inside the building. Be embedded with the chief cornerstone. That's why I'm telling you the phrase that Daniel uses, that the kingdom will not be left to other people. If you are found outside, but I'm a Christian for namesake. No. You have to be in the building. You have to be in the system. You have to be in Zion. You have to be upon that mountain. We will come to all those things. I've already told that, but we will come to that. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? So, and even I think the book of Hebrews, forgive me if I'm wrong, I don't remember. It says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Those brethren in the Acts of the Apostles, they were persecuted. They knew if they get outside, they can be killed. Hebrews, yes. They can be killed if they go outside. But still they gathered. They did not have a church building. They did not have a banquet hall. They did not have nothing of those sort. But they gathered together. They gathered together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That is the spiritual building. That is people of God coming together. And Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Because they knew the importance that they will receive oil. They will receive the dew of Hermon when they gather together. Nowadays, there is so much of differences in the church. Oh, he saw me like this. Oh, he told me like this. Oh, even in ministry. I have been in ministry from the age of 19. I am aware of some things in my small experience. Oh, he said me like this. Small issues. Small things. Any which ways, but God, that is the importance of coming together. That is the system of God. Okay, some other verses, and let me go ahead with the revelation. Isaiah chapter number 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Again, Isaiah is also talking about the stone. And that stone, where? In Zion, on the mountain. Okay. And then a foundation stone. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, holding the whole building together. Psalm chapter number 118, verse number 22. Psalm chapter number 118, verse number 22. I'm giving you some scriptures. Psalm chapter number 118, verse number 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Again, the same stone. All right. Now, I don't know if I can finish or not. What it means to be built together with the chief cornerstone. What it means to be built together. How can you be built together in that spiritual building? How many of you want to be in that spiritual building? I'm telling you, that spiritual building is like the Ark of Noah. If you are into it, you are safe. You forget about what money you have. Forget about what people are saying, what relatives are saying, what husband is saying. You take a decision. You take a decision to be in that, because the times are coming when the stone will be cut off without hands. That stone will crush everything which is outside the building. Everything, you see, everything. Because that this kingdom we are building, we are not building this kingdom to please people, to win the votes of people. We are building this kingdom so that Satan can be destroyed. Your persecutor will be destroyed. And there will be no tears. There will be no sorrow. And you can enter the eternal kingdom of the Lord. That's why we are building this kingdom. I am telling you, building this kingdom is not easy. I am into building this kingdom from yours. It's not easy. It's not easy. It was not easy for Noah. The Bible says he was a preacher. What he was preaching? The preacher of righteousness. Definitely he was telling people to come into the ark. But unfortunately, there were very few people. No people apart from his family who went into the ark. So there are times you will be left alone, discouraged. My ministry is not growing. But you have to understand and look through the spirit that you are building a spiritual kingdom. You are building a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. It's not easy.
Hallelujah.
We have to see how what it means to be built together with the chief cornerstone. If I start it off, it will take a lot of time. So I will end here and I will continue next time. Hallelujah. But you see, God is doing a marvelous thing. It is wonderful. Hallelujah. What he is doing is, he is bringing a crucifixion of our own thoughts and perspective. And when we are in his presence, and when we are overtaken by his spirit of revelation, we will know more of his ways. And when we know more of his ways, we will see that everything that the world was telling us was a lie. Everything that we were believing was a lie. Everything that people esteem highly is a lie. There is a verse, there is something that Jesus said. He said, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination for the Lord. So what the world admires and lifts up and magnifies, it's not necessarily it's from the Lord. It's an abomination. So when you will start to know the Lord, beloved, you will start to come closer to him and discover the deepness of his truth, the depth of his truth. Hallelujah. The abundance of revelation that he wants to give you just because he wants to preserve you till the time he comes back so that you can be with him because he loves you. Hallelujah. So let's submit to him. And let's continue to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. We want to give you the praise. Lord, we have come here and we know the purpose of us coming here is to host your presence, Jesus, is to host your presence, Holy Spirit. Lord, tonight, Lord, even as, Lord, you are building the spiritual kingdom, Lord, and we want to be a part of it, Lord. Lord, we want to be a part of it, Lord. And you teach us, Lord, how to be, Lord, away from the world and crucified to the world and the world crucified to us, that we may be able to be fully consecrated unto you and unto your work and unto your service. Every stone who are here have a purpose, Lord. Every stone who are here are fitted together, have a position in that altar, in that building, Father. Oh, let them submit and surrender and be in that place, Lord, and fulfill their functions in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, you, the stone, the chief cornerstone, is going to fall upon everything that man has created and crush everything, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that souls will be saved in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father, how you will do it, Holy Spirit, you know it, Lord. The Bible says you are the one who will convict the people, Lord. Convict those hearts in the name of Jesus. Even as this message goes on the internet, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, not for my glory or for anything else, but just because souls to be saved, Lord, you break the demonic gates, Father, the demonic rulers, and let that message go, Lord, to the people who should listen to it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive us for the times where we underestimated your power. Oh, Lord, we forgive us for those times, Lord, when we did that, when we thought about that. Oh, forgive us for the time that when we ourselves, Lord, undermined or despised the power that you have. Lord Jesus, you have the power to destroy everything that is not from you, Lord. You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you are coming on that white horse with the rod of iron, Lord, with the army of heaven clothed in fine linen with you, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Your Lord, we believe in you, Lord. And we believe in your almighty power. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In these last days, when I read my book the book of Revelation, Lord, it says, the Lord, to some of the faithful ones, you will also give your rod of iron so that they may have that power. Father, empower your believers that every knee will bow down before you. Empower every believer that they may know what they carry, Lord. The gifts they carry, the anointing that they carry, the call of God that is upon their lives, and that they will not let it get wasted, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. That they will rise up to the potential and to the position that you have called them in. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray for those who are not there. Father, break every veil of darkness around them and let them get serious with you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.